comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah!
Gooner Army, we are live. Good morning, Gooner Nation. It's Ben Carnero, the host of Roadway.Reports. Are you into bus stuff? The only comedy podcast about traffic deaths. Leader, it's Ben Carnero. It's me, Ben Carnero, leader of the Gooner Army, and host of the Are You Into Bus Stuff podcast, the only podcast that's a comedy podcast and also about traffic deaths. Welcome to the podcast. I was born to podcast. You guys,
welcome to the podcast. We are live in many places in your ears.
You guys don't know what it was like to go through life not podcasting and to finally feel the sweet release, the sweet release of finding something that I am truly transcendent at. I am the Babe Ruth of podcasts.
It may be hard for the listener to comprehend this, but before we created this podcast, we really weren't very good at anything.
Anything at all. And it, just because we have 10 listeners doesn't mean it's not an excellent podcast. We're workshopping the brand.
The brand is... You are the brand.
The Gooner Army is the brand. The Gooners will rise up, the Gooners will be free, and the Gooners will take back the streets.
Capiche, essay?
Capiche? I wonder if there's anybody who listens to the podcast who doesn't know we have a website.
I feel like that's probably possible. I mean, we reference it a lot, roadway.report, but that's one beef that I have with the website is that it doesn't seem like a website, roadway.report. Like, people are .com coded.
So what should we do? Should we get a new brand? Should we buy Sky Rizzy?
Yeah.
Should we buy that brand?
Sky Rizzy dot traffic deaths.
I was singing the, Ozempic the other day. They got me, man. They branded my ass.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have only a few orders of business.
Excellent.
I have two orders of business. Do you want to talk about Waymo or Microsoft Outlook?
Ooh, I am big on Microsoft Outlook. I'm a Microsoft Outlook user. I'm pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, I have managed up to like 20 calendars at a time on Microsoft Outlook. So I've got a lot to say.
What could you possibly... How on earth? What kind of categories are we talking? What kind of calendars?
There was, you know, one senior vice president that I had access to, and then two vice presidents, and then four directors, and then six managers... And then my own, and then everyone on my team. So yeah, upwards of about 20.
And was it good? Was the experience positive?
I mean, yeah.
Your Microsoft experience.
I'm sure it's just closeness, you know. But I find it to be. I prefer it to the Google Calendar, and I've been Googleified. My life has been Googleified for a long time. I'm trying to de-Googleify my life somewhat, but. I would say that the Outlook calendar, just because I know it and it's my familiar, is my preference for enterprise calendaring solutions.
Okay, well, heard that. because in 15 hours, I've got a job interview where I've got to give a presentation on Microsoft Outlook.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
Because they sent me like a quick turnaround, and it's like I've sort of just got to wing this presentation. And I've got to give, let me read the prompt. I've got to teach a city government a session on Outlook tips and tricks. You will use Microsoft Teams to work with a group of city government employees.
I think you should go like super big philosophical, like Outlook is defined in Webster's dictionary as.
Okay, so what I've got so far, okay, what I've got so far is the title of the talk, which is A New Outlook on Life.
Heck yeah.
My first tip is email signatures, just making sure you got that nailed right. That's important. And then I want to talk about automation and like setting rules.
Excellent.
And like automating your boss into like highlighted in red, right?
Right.
That sort of thing. I want to talk about templates. I want to discuss the self email as like a really decent permanent self note. Sometimes you just want to store something. You want to write something down where you can always get to it because email is like permanently text searchable.
Right.
I there's just a lot of like value in that. I don't know, man, but I don't use Outlook on a daily basis. I don't know the pain points of using Outlook. So I was just wondering like, hey, what do you got? What are your Outlook tips and tricks?
Yeah, I mean, I use the calendar. I mean, the calendar, I feel like more of a power user than email. I would say that my impulse is, yeah, setting up rules to manage your inbox to auto sort it into the business that you need to receive, especially if you manage several inboxes and you are receiving mail for several different like business processes. Being able to auto sort those can save, you know, minutes a day, hours a week, days a year. I think that's a really good one. How much time do you have?
I gotta fill 10 minutes.
Then.
So I think five tips, but like detailed, I think I can wing that pretty easily.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to think about it. I would say, you know, don't feel the need to pack too much in, right? Cause you only have 10 minutes and people only remember so much. So I think if you can, you know, get three really good tips, spend 3 minutes on, or 2 minutes and 30 seconds on each tip, and then a beginning for an introduction, maybe establishing your ethos on the matter, and then a little resolution where you ask for, you know, any feedback, because you're supposed to be giving this to a city government or something like that.
Yeah, a bunch of, you know, I don't want to paint all government workers as technologically inept, but, you know, I think I'm supposed to sort of dumb things down.
I think that, yeah, you're supposed to be the expert, but these are people, I would say, in my experience, you know, in nonprofits and public sector, there's a lot of times people that have been using Outlook as their primary email source for decades at this point.
20 years, 30 years?
Yeah, so they may know more than you about some parts of it. So if you can give them the keys to maybe something they don't know about it, that might be a powerful approach.
Yeah. I don't know, man. The self-email's good. Like, you can just hashtag, you can tag emails, email chains by, like, forwarding them to yourself with whatever keywords you want. Like, you can categorize things that way. You don't have to, like, use a user interface and, like, drag and drop and, like, check a bunch of boxes.
Right.
You can just respond to an email to yourself with the hashtag, like, mountain biking.
Nice.
You know, it's just stuff like that. It's, like, a permanent, fully text searchable record. It's like a sticky note that lasts forever.
That is great. Honestly, I feel like if you spent 10 minutes on that, you would definitely turn some light bulbs on for folks.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to talk about Waymo?
Yeah, they announced that Waymo will be coming to Denver, Colorado
in the
fall.
Colorado. That's sick, man. You should take one. People here are taking Waymos. I live in basically the only city in the world where you can call like an autonomous cab.
Yeah, I mean,
like really easily at this point.
As long as it's cost comparable, like I think I'll prefer it.
I haven't done it yet. I should do it for the pod. So, but what I want to talk about is the Waymo's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So the Waymo's sphere of the places that the Waymo will drive are basically all of the neighborhoods in the urban core. And it happens to pretty much completely coincide with the parts of the city that are accessible to like the bike network, you might say.
Right.
So the Waymo zone.
I mean, any part of the city is accessible to the bike network if you are brave enough.
Right, right. But the decent parts roughly are pretty much the same as where Waymo will go. So I happen to encounter these vehicles all the time, like on every single commute, especially because I commute downtown. It's like I see these things everywhere. On some trips, I'll see just as many autonomous, maybe not, that's an exaggeration, but I'll see maybe like 10% of the cars I encounter on like an early morning trip through the city are
wow.
Autonomous. And they don't behave like people. It's just so fucking crazy. It's hard to explain because it doesn't make sense. But like, if your trajectory is going to go in front of the car or is to like collide with the Waymo stops. Whether you're like on foot, on a bike, in a car, if your trajectory is calculated to like cross paths with the Waymo will yield to you, right? But people don't do that. Like if you sort of make like you're going to swerve into traffic, like traffic doesn't stop.
No, I mean, we have a lot of data to show that people will kill you with their car.
People will definitely kill you with their car. But the Waymo is like a good driver. Like the Waymo is programmed to not kill, but the mankind is programmed to kill. Because it's like the rationalization is like, okay, well, if I'm driving down the freeway at 1,000,000 miles an hour, and if someone were to enter the roadway, well, then it would be their fault, right? Like that
right.
Guy's not gonna jump out in front of me. That would be his fault. He would die.
Yeah, there's that attribution of yeah.
But then it's like, eventually somebody does like bolt out, right? Because people are fucking insane. People are unpredictable. You got to keep people on their toes. But no, it acts so differently from people that it makes you reconsider the relationship our society has with the automobile. It's like, oh, the average person is exhibiting dangerous antisocial behavior. This is a system that entreats everybody to participate in this like selfish and dangerous behavior.
Right. And there's a cognitive dissonance between, I don't know if that's the right way to call it, but there's a contradiction between how it feels to drive a car and the reality of driving a car, because people who drive cars every day, they don't feel like they're doing something violent, but indeed they are engaging in a system that is inherently violent and will inherently kill more people than Waymos. I think we have enough data to show that. I mean, maybe that's not true if every single car is replaced by a Waymo. I'm sure there will still be accidents, but I feel like we have enough data to indicate that fewer people will get killed.
So like, but it's like, okay, 0% of drivers stop for pedestrians in crosswalks, right? We have data. This is verifiably true. Zero percent of drivers will stop for you if you try to cross at a crosswalk. This is 100% true. If we can't expect them to do even the most basic of expectations, right? It's just, why did we ever let these things dominate our society? What, it's like, okay, maybe the interests of the rich were listened to and the interests of the poor were not, right? But it's like, how many people like, receive a quality of life boost from Car World, and how many people receive a quality of life deterioration from Car World? It's hard to say.
I would say that the daily car user, which is the majority of United States citizens, or at least majority of adults, United States adults, receive a quality of life boost, a significant one, by driving their car.
Yeah, it's expensive.
But that's the trade-off. You get the convenience and you get maybe the fun and then you get a little bit of privacy. People think of their cars as an extension of their private space.
No, the government should be one. The government should be 100% up your ass if you drive.
Yeah, 100%.
they should know what it looks like in there.
But it is so convenient, and it takes so much labor off the body to run very simple errands when you use the automobile that, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how quickly. I'm curious how drivers, I bet drivers hate Waymos. I bet there's a lot of drivers who are rear-ending Waymos who stop for a biker who may or may not be cutting into their path. And I'm sure a lot of drivers are running into Waymos.
Okay, well, the thing about the Waymo is you can bully it. Because it's not a person and because it won't try to hit you, you can bully it. So what I do is if I come up to one, I just cut it off because it stops.
Right.
and drivers have started, you know, like I figured it out a little earlier than I think the average driver, just because, you know, like when you drive, you like stay behind the car in front of you, but it's as a bike, it's like a little more nuanced. You have a different relationship with like the space. So, you know, you're paying a lot of attention to cars and how they behave. and it's just so different. It's just so different from a person. And it's so much undeniably better.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for them to be in Denver. Someone sent me the posting that they were coming to Denver and they were like, oh, are you kidding me? More cars. And I was like, dude, this is better. This is way better. These are programmed to not kill you. You know who is programmed to kill you? Kevin.
And I mean, it is bad. Like, it doesn't. The system still sucks.
Yeah,
right?
it's not.
The system still creates cancer and lung disease, and like asphalt is still a carcinogen, and we still shouldn't be, you know, burning these fossil fuels in our urban areas. There's nothing good about Car World. We know this. We haven't been cucked by the Ford Motor Company. you can't. We haven't been cucked by the government, the big car government, who's been captured with regulatory capture. The puppet government, Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama.
It strikes me that an autonomous vehicle is practical because it's still a vehicle. It's still a car. Because I sort of was thinking to myself, why couldn't we just program autonomous personal conveyances, autonomous scooters and skateboards and bicycles and things like that? But the problem is even if you could, you would inevitably have to program it to avoid getting hit so badly. And even then, you're on the losing side of the equation. So while the Waymo is a less dangerous predator, we are still the prey.
People are still the prey.
Yeah.
It's hard to be like, it's a step in the right direction, right? Because it's still so fucking stupid. Car World is still so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Well, the suburbs suck too. The suburbs are so fucking dumb. Like, oh my God, I gave someone $300,000 for a cardboard box on like a dirt lot with no trees.
That like you may be able to walk or bike somewhat safely and comfortably to one shopping center,
May, if you're lucky.
Right. And then, you know, you get to wade through the parking lot to get there and hope that there's somewhere for you to park your bike. And I know, I mean, a lot of suburbs have made some progress on these fronts, I mean, but
we just left our bikes outside of the Walgreens and the HEB. Oh my God. I can't believe that. I don't think we ever had a bike lock to like go to HEB.
Yeah.
As kids. Cause we biked there every day for maybe like 5-6 summers in a row.
Wow.
It was like 2 miles. Let me see how far that was.
I feel like 2 miles might be true. Maybe less.
No, maybe more, man.
Maybe more.
It's a decent ride. No, 2 miles is probably a good guess.
It's been a long time. I don't remember.
Bro, it was hot. I remember the heat. That's for sure. I kind of want to try biking up there from downtown.
Yeah, you should.
It's just sketchy. It's not far. It's just sketchy. I mean, it would hurt.
It's a trek, but you could do it.
I can do it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, it's only 1.4 miles.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a comfy little jaunt for a child.
It's a million miles as a kid on a bike. It's a long way.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. We used to call it the country road, and now it's like all houses. It's all been, every single inch has been developed. And we used to call it the country road because there was nothing. It was like a back road to 620.
Mm-hmm.
Just west of I-35. Anyway.
It's intense, yeah. I mean, we used to, you know, drive around that area a lot, like from Fern Bluff Park to the HEB, like after basketball to go get Powerade or whatever. Not a very long journey. We probably didn't need to be driving a car all that time.
Yeah, yeah, man. But, you know, you can't go anywhere if you're on a bike in that area.
Yeah.
Like, you hit 620, you can only go to like those neighborhoods, and then it's, you hit 620 or you hit a different shit road.
Yep. And you'd be a crazy person to ride down 620 on your bicycle.
Let's do it. We should go there, man.
Yeah.
Me and you. Remember Michael?
Oh, yeah, I remember Michael. People still.
Well, yeah, so this kid in school was like emo, right? Super emo, and all the chicks dug him. He was very emo and very hot.
And he was good at musical theater.
Yeah, he was like a singer, dancer, you know, the whole triple threat situation. But I didn't realize that he was an emo because his best friend had been killed on 620, trying to cross 620. They were hit by a car.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that either.
Did you know that? No. So he had like a buddy, and she was trying to cross, like not by the Sonic, but like I think a little down closer to where we lived. Or where I live, pretty sure that's on the death map.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, I mean, it's a very terrible road to cross. I wonder if it's gotten any better or worse since we lived there. I mean, I'm sure more cars. It probably carries more traffic than it did back then.
Yeah, it's got a few kills. I see like 7 just between the HEB and I-35. That's in 20 years.
Round Rock, Texas. The schools are great, but you may die not too far away. Yeah, it's funny. Michael, I don't mean to, I guess, dox him, but I know he's back.
Yeah, let's dox his ass.
I know he's back living in St. Louis, working at a grocery store. One of my professors. So I went to the same college as Michael. So I've been constantly compared to that guy since I showed up in Round Rock, Texas, because I am also very hot. And I'm also good at theater.
Yeah, yeah,
and
you're not nearly as emo.
I was not as emo. Oh, yeah.
I would argue, or as attractive. But I love you. You're beautiful.
I agree, and I have heard people say the same. So yeah, I'm willing to accept it. I've always appreciated being compared to him. But it's funny. My professor was like, "I saw Michael working at the grocery store," and I was like, "No fucking way! This guy, I can't get away from this guy."
We're all just working at the grocery store. Whew.
It's true. I spent a week in Miami.
No, the man, talk to me about the urban form.
Yeah, so I mean, it was so I wasn't in Miami proper for my work week. I was working in a town called Palmetto Bay, which is you might call it a third ring suburb of Miami, but something that I notice about Miami comparative to Denver is that it is denser as you get away from the city center. I was farther away from the city center than I live in Denver, but I would say that it was as dense, if not denser, where I was at. And it's definitely a car-oriented place. Like, there is a major highway, the Dixie Freeway is what it's called, Highway 1, U.S. Highway 1, that is really the only way efficiently to get north-south through the western part of the city, or sorry, the eastern part of the city. And it is densely packed with cars all the time. It's carrying a lot of cars. At the same time, it runs parallel to the Green and Orange Line, which is the train, the metro rail that runs north-south. And that, every time I rode it, was also very crowded. So it was cool to be in a place that was car-oriented and, like, you know, you could tell probably a majority of people are still using cars, and that's what the data seems to indicate. But even so, public transit was full of normies just getting to and from work. When I got back to Denver and I rode the bus home, the train was full of people, you know, going downtown after getting off their flights. But when I got on my connector bus, it was just the most desperate people in society. It was stinky. It was bleak. I was, you know, someone begged for money from me. And, you know, I'm here for it. I don't mind being in my community, but it's just such a stark difference to be in a place where at least a sizable subsection of the workforce uses public transit, and, like, that's just how they live their lives. Denver is such a rich or completely abject poverty city, versus a city like Miami, which clearly has a stronger working class backbone.
Miami
Holmes. It was super cool.
Do the voice.
I got to ride the
it wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't do a couple racial caricatures.
I think
so
that's
if
true.
You don't mind, could you do the voice again?
I got to ride the Miami Mover. So, like,
so good.
My Miami accent, it's definitely more like LA Vato. Like, that's more of what I'm doing. But
yeah, right, right. But it's just so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, you get off the I flew into Miami International, and you ride the Mia Mover, which takes you to either the connection to the Metro Rail, or in my case, my rental car facility. I had a rental car for my work, which was very convenient. Along the Dixie Freeway, I do want to add, which is the stretch of road that I drove every day to work, I stayed in Dadeland, which is the last two stops on the Metro Rail running south. And then past that, there is a dedicated busway, but that didn't seem to be very well used. When I did see the bus, it appeared to be pretty empty. So it didn't seem to be used as well as the rail. And I talked to some folks. They told me that there are plans to expand the rail further to the south along the Dixie Freeway. So that's a good thing. But then when I did ride the train into town, I connected with the Omni Loop and the Brickle Loop, which is the People Mover,
a rubber-tired monorail? The fuck is a rubber-tired monorail?
I mean, look it up, and look it up, listener. It's the People Mover, and it runs through downtown Miami and a little bit to the north, a little bit to the south. And it is a single track, but it's essentially like a little bus vehicle with four rubber tires. It might be more, but with rubber tires on either side. It is one of the strangest transit vehicles I've ever been on. I was living for it.
This is giving airport.
Yes. It feels like something that you would see at an airport for sure.
It's like, I have definitely taken this at an airport.
Right.
Namely, I think like Dallas, Seattle,
mm-hmm.
like short, really short transit. This is an air train.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. And it's very slow. And I was at a station and one of them, the doors didn't open. And so I had to wait for the next one. And it was a pretty long wait. It was like a 15 minute wait for the next car. And the cars don't hold that many people. It's a bit of a joke, but it was seemed to be well used. I would say it was probably
dollar for dollar. These tend to be pretty good.
Yeah, it was about 50% tourists, I would say, if I had to guess.
Right, but those are generally like the people who have like sourced to destination trips in the central area are going to use the people mover.
Right, exactly.
And those are going to be tourists. Or downtown workers.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, in Miami, there's a culture of, you know, not looking like a poor person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think downtown workers, other than, like, service workers, you know, are going to take transit.
Yeah. And I mean, really where the metro stations are, the metro rail stations, like, you could walk the rest of your way, but the people movers seem to be well attended. I had fun riding it. It was fun.
You ever take the Detroit People Mover?
No, I've never been to Detroit.
It's a good people mover. It was like 25 cents for a long time, or like dirt cheap. It was like very cheap and it was like really well used. Cuz I guess walking in Detroit sucks.
They invented the automobile there.
But it's one way. It's a one-way, circular, like, two-mile loop.
Nice.
In just downtown. It's a banger piece of transit.
Nice.
I wanna address the listener with a political message. I want you to get out of your house. Or I want you to go onto the internet and I want you to Google on the Google about local group bike rides in your area. And I want you to get connected with a community of people who also ride bikes like you. You know, man, because sometimes when you're out there and you're in public and the world is beating you down and it feels like you're the only person who's not a fat piece of shit in a fucking tank who's trying to kill the little guy. And it feels like it's just you against the world. You got to realize that there's other people out there who are just like you. And if we ever want to do something about the fact that America is a fucking shithole and totally miserable to spend time outside in, then it's going to take us getting together. And we're never going to get organized if we don't actually know each other and we don't actually go out and participate in our communities and go out and have a good time. So I just want to encourage you to go out and try to ride bikes with other people, spend time outside with other people, go and experience our urban spaces.
For better or for worse.
It's easier in numbers.
Hear, hear. Very well said. I think what Ben is trying to say is take back the streets. Take the hands of your neighbors and take the streets back from the fascists.
Don't let the government tell you what to do. Go out and goon, people. Go out and goon in the streets.
Precisely. And share roadway.report, the website that you're using to plan all of your trips around the safest routes, avoiding the most dangerous stretches of road and intersection. Continue to share that with everyone that you work with. That's kind of the point of a lot of what we do on this podcast. I know it's hard to tell. And obviously we do this because we're excellent at it and because it's our calling and it's our mission to podcast.
No one ever said it would be easy to make a comedy podcast about dying in traffic.
Indeed.
Okay. No one ever said it would be easy. They said we shouldn't do it.
They continue to tell us we shouldn't do it.
They continue to say, "What are you doing?" But we won't listen because the Gooner Army is strong. And the Gooners won't be stopped by the government. The government serves the people. And the people will goon.
Yeah, we.
I know. I think you raise a good point that it's sort of hard to tell what this podcast is about.
I mean, that's the best podcast, though, right? I mean, no, that's not.
No, it's good. I think it's solid.
But yeah, I mean, it's been good to get back home. It's cooling down in Denver, so I need to get outside more. I said I would go bike to my friend's house. I'm feeling kind of tired, so I don't know if I will or not.
I'm gonna go on a group bike ride here in Austin, Texas, and I'm gonna go vibe the fuck out.
Heck yeah.
Crack open a brewski, hang out with the boys and the ladies, and have a good ass time, man. I'm chilling here in beautiful Margaritaville, USA, and I'm gonna go vibe out with the boys in public space, because the government isn't gonna keep me out of the streets.
Excellent. But yeah, listeners, stay safe out there. We won't listen to the critics because we know you listen to us. So reach out, let us know. I'm at lucas@roadway.report.
I'm Ben at roadway.report. I still have yet to have anybody who listens to the show send me an email other than my two brothers.
So I got.
If you like what we do, feel free to reach out.
Yeah,
we'll put our traffic data on your website. We'll do whatever you want. We live to serve.
Yeah, pretty much. We're going to end traffic fatalities one street at a time.
We will help you programmatically harass your local officials. Please reach out. We'll do whatever it takes to take cars off the streets. Okie dokie, baby.
All right.
Thanks for gooning with us this week.
If anybody is legitimately gooning to this podcast, seek help.
No, you're normal. You're great. You're normal. You're doing good. Just hang in there. We're with you.
All right, I'm gonna.
This isn't a. We don't body shame here.
You body shame every episode. You fat shame every single episode.
Every only drivers. If you drive, you're fat.
Yeah.
If you walk, you're not. Okay, we'll cut that out.
I'm cutting.
Gooner Army, I'll see you later. So one thing I did not mention is we are updating roadway.report. We are adding more traffic deaths. While these traffic deaths will not appear on the death map, these traffic deaths will be searchable. The link is roadway.report/accidents. And right now, we've updated the site to date back to 1990, so we have over 30 years of roadway fatalities. Eventually, hopefully within the next month, the site will date 1975 to 2023. We'll have almost half a century of traffic death data available for free, completely on the site. So stay tuned for that. Feel free to go to the website. It is linked in the menu. It says like search crash reports or search traffic data. Click on that bad boy. Feel free to search around. We're adding new traffic deaths every day, baby. We can't be stopped. The government won't stop us. The government can't tell us what to do. You heard it here first.
Comedy podcast, get your ass ready for a comedy podcast
about roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, a certified motherfucking comedy podcast
about roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fu-